today on Real Radio.
He moves nations. He moves leaders. All of a sudden, my problem's not so big. I think my problem's huge because I'm not sovereign, thank God. I'm supposed to take my problems to God. I'm supposed to take me to God. The things that concern me to the Lord. He's sovereign. What a glorious and awesome, powerful God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called He Who, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah's ministry regarding Israel can be divided into two very specific revelations from God. From Isaiah chapter 39 through the end of the book, the theme changes. This second half now reveals to us the wonderful blessings and fulfillments of God's promises to the Jews and to the land of Israel during what's called the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. In our previous episode taken from part 1 of Isaiah chapter 41, we learned that God is sovereign. He is not moved by any nations or rulers or any plans made by earthly governments. God's nature never changes. He is the one who knows the future and who keeps his promises he made to Israel and to us. He alone is the one we need to put our trust in. So today on day 2 of Isaiah chapter 41, Pastor Jack tells us that there is a movement today to deny Israel its history, even at the Temple Mount. But Israel doesn't belong to the Jewish people. The Bible tells us that Israel belongs to God, and He is the one who moves nations and leaders, not any movements stirred up by the enemy. And now continuing his lesson called He Who, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I feel kind of bad last Sunday with great intentions. A woman came up to me and she said, Pastor, welcome back, but I want to tell you something. You need to claim your healing. And I said, listen, I understand that and I appreciate that. She said, no, you need faith. You need faith and you need to now be healed now. And I said, I appreciate that, but I didn't get a chance to tell her, and she was really kind of going on about it with a great heart. Don't get me wrong. She meant well. And I said, ma'am, what you're not hearing is this. I have been praying for 2 years that God would heal me, and I'm going to keep praying. But God has also been saying to me, Jack, my grace is going to be sufficient for you through this. And this weakness, I'm going to be strength in your weakness. You embrace it. You embrace it. I'm going to be your strength in this weakness. And when I said that, she said, you don't mean that. You can't mean that. I said, well, oh my, I just quoted Bible to you. I do mean it. But listen, honestly, but let's be honest. And I'm on her side. If I could snap my finger, I'd be healthy and healed tonight. Wouldn't you? But God says, listen, I'm working something out here. I'm doing something. The world is crazy. God's doing something. Don't panic, Christian. Oh, but the world is so messed up and all this. It's all falling together. It's all coming together. God's got a plan. And he says that he's the Almighty God. And he made a covenant with Abram. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. And he swore to Abram that he would give to his descendants the land. God said it. It initiated with God. God made the deal. The Bible tells us that while Abraham was sleeping, God made a deal with a sacrifice. And because he could not agree with anyone greater than himself, he agreed with himself. And he made an everlasting covenant with the land of Israel. Listen, you can get the nations of the world to launch a world war attack against Israel tonight. And they won't win. 100%. Look, see this? The nations of the world could launch a world war attack on Israel tonight, and they would not win. You want to know why? Because God says, once I bring them back, it's very clear, once I bring them back in the last days, and they become a nation again, he said they will never again be uprooted. Now, do they have times coming where the Antichrist is going to drive many of them away? And do they have a time of great deception coming by the Antichrist? Absolutely. But even still in that, the nation doesn't cease to exist. They go through the time of what is called Jacob's trouble. Do you know another name for Jacob? Israel's his name. Isn't that fantastic? Yes, Israel's got tough times coming, but they'll never cease to be Israel. God is sovereign. And that should bring comfort to us. I've often said, you're tired of hearing about it. If God doesn't keep his promises to Israel, the Christian has no hope that God will keep his promises to us. That's how sure God is in keeping his word. He will keep his word. He who alone is sovereign. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. The anointed, that's Messiah. Saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. In other words, let's not have God rule over us. He who sits, look at verse 4, don't you? I'm sorry, I revel in this. Verse 4, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. You ever, can God laugh? Oh, God laughs. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Look at verse 6. Yet, cheer up, everybody. I've set my king on my holy hill, Zion. Isn't that awesome? Zion, where's Zion? It's in Jerusalem. Thousands of years of history in the Bible. The word's never changed. It's God's land. For thousands of years, Mount Zion has been God's favorite place. It's remarkable, by the way. I encourage you to go do this later. Go get a satellite map. You can get it at the government, at the NASA's website. You can look at it. And I go over Israel, and I want you to zoom in. And I want you to zoom in at the location of Bethel, just not far from Jerusalem. This is homework for all of us. Zoom in and then take a screenshot. When you get to the area of Bethel, the land right there, and then look up the name of God in Hebrew. Yahweh. Y-H-W-H. Look it up in Hebrew. And then look at it in Hebrew, how it's spelt, and look at your NASA satellite space image at Bethel and tell me if the name of God is written in the mountains of Bethel. It's all over the world. People have seen it, and I use it as a witnessing tool in Israel. Every Jew I've showed it to, they just can't believe it. Not one has not freaked out when I've shown them this. And it's not like kinda. You see, well, who cares? So what? The Bible says, I have written my name upon this land. And his name is upon the land. God is sovereign. Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is sovereign. I want to give you some things to help you be reminded of God's sovereignty tonight. First article is from The Atlantic. And the UN controversy over the Holy Land sites of Israel. This is a big deal right now going on. UNESCO, it's the United Nations. This is their Department of Antiquities, their Department of History, their department that deals with this kind of stuff. And they've gotten together and they've decided to examine the holy sites of Israel because the UN doubts if Israel has any historical roots to the land of Israel. And so the United Nations has been looking into this. And oh, cheer up, you're paying for about 33% of the payroll that's having this happen. Every American pays into the United nothing so that they can do this kind of stuff. And I wanted you to see that. The next one is from The Hill, political publication. UN cannot be allowed to deny Jewish link to the Temple Mount. That's what's going on right now. That's why, by the way, recently Donald Trump went directly to the Temple Mount and prayed at the Wailing Wall because Trump was briefed on the fact that the world is not recognizing Israel's right to the land, and the United Nations has declared that the Wailing Wall is no longer viable to Jewish history. It's absolutely insane, but again, so is the United Nothing. It's absolutely crazy. Now, what's amazing, if you're sitting here tonight, you ought to be sitting up if you're a doubter in the Bible, because God says the world is going to come get into big trouble with me because they've denied my people access to their land, they divided up my land, and they've mistreated my people. And can you imagine the United Nations coming to California and saying, you know what? We're going to declare that Southern California belongs to Canada now. You know what? You know what? You know what we would do out here in the Wild West with those guys? We'd send them back to wherever the UN belongs. Next one. This is Israel Today. UN confirms denial of Jewish connection to Temple Mount. I'm giving you this stuff. You say, well, that's selective news. No, you go study it on your own. There's a great movement right now, and that movement is to deny Israel access to its history. Now, understand something. If you go to Israel, the land of Israel is constantly being dug up and examined, and museums are being built, and artifacts are being put on display, because every time they put a shovel in the ground, it displays history, and it's in total alignment with the Bible and with world history. You need to know that if you don't. And the next thing I want to show you is Dr. Gabriel Barque. He's a renowned archaeologist. And you can read this article. It's available for you to read online. You can read it at length. But I believe this one is from Christianity Today, I think. I'm not sure. Doesn't matter. But in his in this article that is saying that Israel has no right and it's a fabrication and there's no history to the land of Israel, it should go by some other name. Listen to this. He says, he's a Jewish archaeologist now. He says, Jesus and the Temple Mount are referred to in the New Testament over 20 times. Dr. Barque noted at a Jerusalem press conference, Jesus went there prior to his crucifixion and overturned a table from money changers and prophesied. Isn't that interesting? This is a Jewish archaeologist saying this. Remember, the Jews deny Jesus. They don't say he didn't exist. They just don't like him. About the Temple Mount. So he who tries to jeopardize the Jewish connection to the Temple Mount actually undermines Christianity. That's true. Because it is based on Jesus and his connection to the Temple Mount. That's true. Isn't that amazing? But that's the movement that's afoot. It goes on, it says, the United Nations document demands that Israel cease what the UN calls the intentional destruction of the holy sites. You know what's funny about that? The intentional destruction, every time Israel digs up something out of the earth, it confirms the Bible and Judeo-Christian worldview and undermines Islam, which is behind all this. Listen, it goes on. All of which the UN refers to solely by using Islamic names in Arabic. You think there's an agenda? To go after who? Ultimately, they're poking God in the eye. Isn't that amazing? The relevance of your Bible. Look at verse 2 of Isaiah 41. Back to Isaiah. We made it past verse 1. Now watch this. Who raised up one from the east? In your margins, write down Cyrus. God is referring to King Cyrus. Who raised up one from the east? Who in righteousness called him to his feet? Who gave the nations before him and made him ruler over kings? Who gave them as the dust to his sword, as driven stubble to his bow? Who pursued them and passed safely by, that he, again, King Cyrus, had not gone with his feet? You say, wait a minute, Jack, could that be a reference to Jesus? Oh, that's a good observation. The answer is yes and no. We know from the study of the book of Isaiah that Isaiah breaks forth in a prophecy. It's regarding King Cyrus, who is the ruler of the Persian Empire. That's not even viable at this moment regarding the prophecy. Cyrus has not even yet been born. You say, yeah, but it doesn't say Cyrus right here. Hang on to your seats. In Bible prophecy, there is a near and far fulfillment. Many scholars would say this is a veiled reference to the Messiah, the anointed one himself, and that is true. But technically, if we're going to look at it technically, in the short-term fulfillment, it deals with Cyrus. And here's the reason why this is important. Number one, again, this prophecy, as we'll see in a moment, is 150 years before King Cyrus is born. There are countless archaeological discoveries regarding Cyrus, not to mention Persian history. 22 times he's mentioned in the Bible, King Cyrus. Image on the screen at the famous British Museum is the cylinder of Cyrus, King Cyrus. This is from his realm. This is from his reign. And this cylinder, that's how they communicated in those days. They would write onto a scroll, they would wet sand or leather, and they would roll the scroll on top of the wet leather or sand, and then they would have a written document or copy. And then the cylinder, this is so cool, the cylinders were then taken and archived in the records of Persia. And of course, God hides them in the earth for us for have archaeologists uncover. And I told you before, if you ever go to England, whatever you go to England for, you got to go to the British Museum and see these things with your own eyes. The next shot is a close-up of it. Now, that is an alphabet. Aren't you glad you didn't go to their school? But that is highly advanced. That is ancient linguistics from what would be the Persian or Iranian. Today we call it Iran. It's Persian Empire under the reign of Cyrus. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28, listen to this. Isaiah 44, verse 28, it says, "Who says of Cyrus, 'He is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure,' saying to Jerusalem, 'You shall be built,' and to the temple, 'Your foundation shall be laid.'" Church family, listen up, everybody. That's Isaiah 44, verse 28. That's 3,000 years old. Take that, UN. But look at this. For you to have confidence in your Bible, the name Cyrus appears right there in your scriptures. The book of Isaiah, listen, Isaiah was long dead before Cyrus was ever born. The Jews had the book of Isaiah before Cyrus was born. According to Jewish teachings, rabbinical teachings, are you sitting down? According to rabbinical teachings, when Cyrus came to invade Israel, and that's recorded, by the way, in Persian history, when he came, some old guy, who was a counselor at the time to the Babylonian Empire, that while this old man was in captivity, Babylon was taken captive by the Medo-Persian Empire. Without firing a shot, by the way. When Cyrus comes into Jerusalem, there is a word given to Cyrus from an old man. You know who that old man was? Oh, good. Daniel. Daniel brought to Cyrus the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, and showed his name in the Bible. Cyrus was so impressed and so humbled by that prophetic decree regarding him that he spared Jerusalem and he spared the Jewish people and, in fact, funded their rebuilding. And that is a matter of fact in secular history. How awesome and sovereign is your God? He moves nations. He moves leaders. All of a sudden, my problem's not so big. I think my problem's huge because I'm not sovereign, thank God. I'm supposed to take my problems to God. I'm supposed to take me to God. The things that concern me to the Lord. He's sovereign. What a glorious and awesome, powerful God we have. And so this is a prophecy about him setting up the kingdom of Cyrus. He alone is sovereign. Look at verse 4. Who has performed and done it? God is speaking of himself now. Who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? Look how he answers this question. I, the Lord, I am the first, and I am with the last. I am he. You hear God flexing his muscle? Oh, I hope you enjoy this. He who is sovereign to the point, to such a degree, that God, as it were, thunders from heaven. And he says, who's been able to do such things as this? He shouts to the nations. He shouts to us. I speak about things before they happen. Friends, family, listen. Find a religious system, find a faith in the earth today, find a group that adheres to some other faith other than Judeo-Christianity, the Bible, and ask them to have their God do what the God of the Bible does. They can't do it. There's not a one. Why would someone follow a false God when God says, I'm the one? And look what he says of himself. He says, I am the Lord. By the way, see the capital L-O-R-D? That's Yahweh. That's that name. I am the first and I am with the last. I am he. In John 14, verse 1, we need to take comfort in this. Remember, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is the I am. Jesus is the fleshly manifestation. Jesus is the incarnate Yahweh. And Jesus echoes the same thing that is spoken by God in the Old Testament. Don't panic. I am the first and the last. I preside over this. And so when we look at verse 4 and the magnitude of what is being said, I'm just going to ask you to write down a few verses. I could actually give you 73 verses on this. I'm going to spare you and give you just a couple. Isaiah 48:12. Isaiah 48:12 says, listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am he. By the way, that's singular. I am he, singular. I am the first. That means all things originate in me. What a statement. Meaning nothing has ever been before me. Whatever is, I made. And look, he says, I am also the last. What does that mean? Whatever is began with me, and whatever comes to an end by me. You hear God flexing? This is the God who says, I love you. This is the God who says, I'll forgive you. This is the God who says that I'll send my son to the cross to die there for you. This is the God who says my son will be resurrected from the dead for you. Need we worry and panic any longer about anything? See, we worry and panic because we forget who he is. I'm the first and the last, he says. Isaiah 44, verse 6 says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, it's all singular, there is no God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called He Who, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. You know, our hope is that you've put your faith in Jesus Christ because he alone is trustworthy. He Who, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, the book of Isaiah can be a hard one to follow, especially if you've missed any of the episodes here on Real Radio. So if you're wondering how to catch up, we've got good news for you. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the tab that says Listen. Once there, you can start listening to the most recent episodes, or you can go all the way back to the beginning of our series on Isaiah, with titles such as Government God's Way, or When God Restores, and Being Right with God. You can catch an episode you might have missed, or you can simply review as you go along. So head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Listen tab. The Isaiah Sermon series is there for you. It's all in order from the most recent episode. You may have to wait for the latest one to upload, but keep on checking. It's well worth the wait. You'll find that all right there at Real Life with Jack. JackHibbs.org. That's Real Life with JackHibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.